pissed on for another round of racing and rocking with Draglist.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight. And tonight, we feature top alcohol funny car racer Rich Fenwick. He's been blazing up and down the strips for many, many years on the East Coast and a little bit into the country after that. And did a great job for many, many years and always in the thick of things. Looking forward to talking to Rich tonight. I'll ask some racing questions, and John will ask some rocking questions. You can also join our live chat during the show. Go to drag.racersreunion.com/chat. But without further ado, all the way from Connecticut, Mr. Rich Fenwick. Rich, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great, man. I'm glad to have you on here because you're taking me back to the 80s. I remember when I was announcing at Bud's Creek, you were often as part of those top alcohol funny car shows we had all the time, and always a threat to win, no matter what kind of body style you ran. For a long time, running with a Ford Tempo body, using that Bernstein idea, I guess. But great to have you on the show, and tell us about those great years. I mean, what got you into funny car racing? I didn't really see you racing sportsman ranks. All of a sudden, around 84 or so, I think you showed up with a Mustang 2 and started doing some damage. Tell us about those years.
Well, you got a pretty good memory. I forgot about that one.
I write them all down.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to save my paper route money and get my older brother Kenny to take me up to Connecticut Dragway. That's back when Jungle Jim and all them guys were racing, and I just always wanted to race a funny car. In fact, I think I even put it in my yearbook that I said someday I'm going to race this funny car, and I was able to do that for 15 years.
Oh, you absolutely did, and you were mixing it up. You know, one of the folks we had on recently was Carol Henson. We told, you know, when I made the announcement you were coming on, she sent me a PM real quick on Facebook and said, "Oh, man, tell me when Rich is on. I want to hear that." So hopefully Carol's listening, and if she is, hello, Carol. But so you were, yeah, I know that you were...
That's the first person I ever raced with a license.
Is that right? Tell us about that night.
Well, I built a new car, and I had called Bernstein about buying the Tempo body because it was like the first car they did all the wind tunnel testing and all that. So I was never really a Ford guy, but I wanted that body, and he sold me one, and I thought it was a big deal. But 2 weeks later, I seen a National Dragster who was selling to everybody. So I got a call from Mike Lewis, and he had said to me, you know, we need that Ford car for our Ford show. We don't have another car. And I said, Mike, I don't even have my license yet. He said, well, you will by the time you get out of here. And that's how I got started. So I made my license run, and then I matched race with Carol.
Oh, that's awesome. And, oh, Mike.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then she spanked me big time on the tree. That's what I remember the first time I went down the racetrack with my license.
Well, that's all right. That's the first one. We saw you racing, you know, a lot of times at Bud's Creek, and I know there, you know, all the way through the 80s, and you really had that thing humming. I know you had Ronnie Swearingen tuning for you for a while, and, you know,
yeah,
I remember
when
that.
Yeah, was there.
Yeah, well, that's the next
one. For a while.
Well, I don't know if folks remember, but in 85 and 86, that's right, Whit Bazemore, as he was kind of crawling his way towards the Nitro ranks, was your driver. Tell us about working with Whit those years.
Well, I got a call from Frank Hall. I went to school. I tried driving the car, and I left there. I still didn't want to drive the car. And So Frank calls me and says, I got a guy with Bazemore that wants to drive your car, and he's got Winston money. I said, good, send him up. And that's how we got started. So, you know, we raced for a couple of years, and then, you know, it went his way, and I decided I was going to drive my own car. And Dick Bell had gotten me hooked up with Bob Ellison. He said, here's a guy who can tune the car for you. He's a great guy. And he was. He absolutely was a great guy. And I don't know anybody that loved racing more than him and his wife. So, you know, we were together for, I forget how many years. And then, you know, time went on. And, you know, I was the only guy, you know, supporting the car. So I had some other friends this way that wanted to go racing with me. So, you know, we, not that we split company, but I took everything back to Connecticut because he wanted everything up at his house to service it, which was kind of great for me. I just would show up.
Right.
But yeah, great guy. Loved him dearly. Miss him dearly, too.
Super good guy. And yeah, he could tune them, right? I mean, and I remember the one year when you went 628 to 219 at the time. That was a super fast run because, I mean, you were just a tenth or two off what the world record was. That he had you flying. That was after Swearingen. This was when, I guess, Bob was tuning and you were driving.
Yeah, I finally drove it right.
I guess it was about 88 or so.
He was doing it right. I wasn't driving it right.
Took you a while to get into it.
I was racing, I think, Ernie Karp, you know, which, you know, they were teammates at one time and stuff, and I knew. Well, I remember getting in the car and I was all hopped up, and I definitely drove the crap out of the car. And yeah, I remember that 628. In fact, when I pulled that poem, my cousin had a big sign out front, 628, go primo in first piece, his cousin.
Awesome.
So it was pretty cool. And he even got a call from Ken Venn. He said, hey, I heard you finally ran the goddamn thing right, or something like that.
So. Yeah, I knew when you get a call from Venn, it's saying what a good alcohol run you made. That's pretty darn good right there.
Yeah, that is pretty good. He's a great guy and definitely helped me get going. And I bought all my motors from him. I wasn't Brad guy. I was a Vinny guy.
Oh, cool. One of the early Venny guys then, when, you know, taking advantage of that Ohio horsepower.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, in fact, after all our stuff kind of got pretty beat up when Ronnie was around, Whit and I spent 2 weeks out at Venny's, and he taught us how to build motors. And, I mean, the stuff that he taught us is just was invaluable. And it was a great 2 weeks we spent there with him and Ronnie, and it was awesome.
That's so cool. Well, he's a great guy. I had a chance to meet him down at Bud's Creek. Of course, I wasn't watching him run at the time. Todd was driving, and he was tuning Todd at a match race one night. Another good old, you know, match race, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what kept us going. I mean, in the beginning, I never NHRA raced. I always match raced.
Right.
That's what we did, you know.
Well, we loved it. You know, it was, you know, you could see the best, and it was, you know, Bud's Creek Course, Connecticut. That's a fabulous starting line as well, good air and stuff. But we always, you know, we saw you guys running. We were always right on the record there. You know, when you guys were running, whoever was winning was not too far off the record with the cold, cold Maryland night air right off the creek there. Let's see. Well, tell us that, you know,
The match racing days were a lot of fun. I mean, there was some weekends we raced Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And I don't know, got in the house at like 4 o'clock in the morning and get up to go to work for 7. I don't know how we did it, but we did it.
We were younger then, Rich. I guess that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about, you know, at one point there, for at least one race, because I've got the ET recorded, you went fuel racing. This is 89. Tell us about putting nitro in that thing and hitting the strip. What brought that about?
Well, it was frustrating racing in Division I because you had to race Frank Menzo, Bob Newberry every weekend.
Right.
And I wanted to put a match race fuel car together. So Darryl Gwynn had three short blocks. They were 7/8 motors. And they tried that combination. It didn't work. But for me, it would have been perfect for a match race fuel car. So I bought a car, and I bought the three motors from Daryl, and you know, made license runs and stuff, and then never followed through with it.
Got it. So that 867, a shutoff, was that your best run then in the fuel car, or did you go a little quicker somewhere else? Do you recall?
That was probably it, but I was on fire.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, burned the chutes off the car, the whole thing.
Who was tuning that at the time? Did Allison turn the wrenches on that combo?
No, he didn't. A guy, Dean from Dean's Muffler in California, they had this fuel system that we were trying to run, and that was that. So he flew out here, and we went and made some license runs.
Well, you know what? You're listed on the drag racing list in a Nitro Funny Car. I mean, that's something that, you know, very, very few people in the world can say. So, and you're listed in both cars.
You know, did you feel so much more power when you step on it? You know, pull a burnout. I mean, it was just like, both, you know, effortless. And then I noticed when you left, all of a sudden, it didn't leave that hard. I don't know if that was their tune-up, but man, they started to pull like unbelievable.
Right. That's what folks keep saying, but one of these days we'll try it, I guess. Maybe in my next life. I don't think Mrs. Pratt's going to let me not do that thing. I had a chance once or twice, and
my wife at the time didn't like the idea. In fact, when I was licensing for the Nitro car, she wouldn't come.
Oh. Yeah, you should have seen the thing that I had a chance to drive. Oh, my gosh, that was scary. Scary, scary, scary. I was, and it was a good that I didn't in retrospect. But so I saw you kind of, now either I missed you for a couple of years, or it seems like it took you about half a decade to get back in an alcohol car after that. Did you... You know, were you just building the business when you came back about 95 with a really nice top alcohol piece again? Tell us about that. What happened there? Did you just take a break, or what was going on?
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of demanding, and you know, I had a wife and kids, mm-hmm. and so I decided to put together, you know, a budget car, which we did, which I ended up crashing in at New Media Raceway. That was in 96.
Oh, man.
And well, then I think... my business was doing extremely well, so when after that happened, I built a brand new car. And
okay.
Away we were off and running again.
Well, I know you had that thing came right back and went in the 6.0s in 95, but then you really had that thing flying, you know, 580s at 240 a couple years later, and, you know, ran right till about what? Go ahead.
I had hired Les Davenport to tune the car for me, and our first race was Gainesville out of the trailer. I clicked it early, and it ran 6 flat, and then it rained out. So we went from there over to... Atlanta, and it ran 587 out of the trailer.
Wow.
So, in fact, I think I qualified fourth or something like that. It was Manzo, Newberry, who else?
Hitter, no doubt.
I just remember being fourth.
Yeah. And you're like, can I get away from these guys? Yeah, no kidding. You were really flying. So, and you ran right till about what, 2001? And
I stopped racing in 98.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh, we got bogus listings for you then for a couple of remaining years.
Yeah, maybe, because I stopped. It was 98. I sold the car to a guy named Ron Taylor after the Keystone Nationals.
Okay, so the Wild Hog or something, he called it, right? Those, I think. Well, you probably didn't see it.
Yeah,
Hog Wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, tell us. You know, you got any crazy stories from back in the days running with all those guys and on the Match Race Trail? Tell us your craziest story that happened.
One of the funniest stories was I drove for Eddie Parker to Cape Cod for a couple years, and we were headed down to US 13 for a points meet. And so we, a trailer fell, or an axle fell out of their trailer, broke. And it was funny, Ed just grabs his address book and he's whistling and everyone else is upset. And it's like he did, it's like just, you know, business as usual. So he called up John Kerry's shop and we limped the trailer over there and fixed it. And that's how we got back in the road. But you had, you know, you're not there seeing how Eddie was just so cool, calm, and collected, just didn't care. And what was ironic is the following year, around the same spot, the same thing happened to the trailer again, and we were at John Kerry's again, welding the axle back in the trailer.
I love all that. He's just a laid back guy. Every time I saw him, he had a different guy in the cockpit. But it doesn't matter, you know. He could make that thing
I was
run.
One of them for a couple of years. See, that's probably the spin you were talking about. I drove for Eddie for a few years.
Okay, was that in the late 80s? I didn't realize that.
Trying to think.
Don't worry. We'll do the research.
50, you don't remember nothing.
I'm telling you, I'm always trying to get people to do my research for me, and I, you know, it rarely works. But, well, you got anybody, you know, while we got you on the radio, anybody you want to say howdy to or send a shout-out to the folks that helped you out or your family?
Yeah, well, my kids are always on the top of my list, Ashley and Blake. Anybody else I want to shout-out to? I get to see... I help out Jay Blake down there. I actually run his hospitality for him.
And, oh, cool.
So I do get to see some of the guys still that are still around racing, and it's a lot of fun to, you know, to see them, and they're still there, which is amazing.
Yeah, he's a good man. I tell you, those guys run hard, too, and the great, great guys. Had him on, of course, and, of course, you know, Todd and the guys who've driven for him over the years. All you guys from up in New England, they're really, really tough. You've been tracking you forever. I mean, if you're not racing, you know, if you're not racing Manzo or Newberry or somebody or Bunny or Carroll, you got to race, you know, the other guys, like, you know, Blake and those fellows and the blue chip guys. And
yeah, well, you got Bartone there too, and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forget about it.
It was always a struggle. I mean, I raced for as long as I did just because I loved doing it. But it was just, you know, I'd been in finals, but I could never beat them.
Right.
Yeah. I did it for like 15 years, and just came close, but no cigar.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rich, you were definitely there, and I mean, it just. You know, throwing haymakers at them. I mean, not everybody can win. I mean, there's, you know, X number of cars in the sport, and, you know, in a matter of thousands, right, it's going to be decided. But some of those big numbers you ran over the years certainly put you right in the big leagues.
Well, that was contributed to Les Davenport. The guy was unbelievable.
Yeah. Those guys from the Northwest there are pretty darn tough. Or was it Colorado? Where's he from? What, one of those states?
He's from Canada. But yeah, the other California side of Canada.
Yeah, British Columbia or somewhere up that way, or Alberta or something. He's been flying for years and tuning a lot of folks for years. You know what
we did, Darryl Russell and I, we were splitting the cost of having him at the races.
Oh, cool.
At the time, when Darryl was racing his dragster, so it kind of worked out economically great for both of us.
Oh, that's really a great story. I didn't realize that, because Darryl Russell flew in that dragster, too. Folks may not remember how tough he was in top alcohol dragster.
We had Davenport.
Right. And then he got the Amato ride, of course, and then, you know, pretty sad after that, but he was a great racer for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a nice guy, too. He's a great guy.
You bet. I'm going to turn you over to my partner here, John Bachman, and take it away. Let's find out some music knowledge here.
Thanks, BP. Now, Rich, when you were racing, did you have something like a theme song that you went by back then?
Well, one of the guys used to like to play Bad to the Bone when we were unloading the car.
Uh-huh.
And, but, you know, when I had Bob Ellison with me, Bob was a DJ, called him Bop and Bob, and so up and down the highways, I don't know how he knew, but he knew where to find every oldie station, and we listened to the oldies.
Yeah, that's the best stuff anyway. I always like that music. If I'm looking for a good tune to play, I'll find it on an oldie station, and it'll bring back all kinds of memories for me. Do you have a musical preference in this day and age? Any concerts that you've been to that you enjoyed?
Well, one of my favorites is Tower of Power.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that is
if
a great
live around
band.
Here, that's, I don't know why we're so big in this area, but Tower Power is a big deal.
Well, you know, my cousin Davey was friends with those guys. This was back in the 80s, and he had all of their albums and music, and he played them for me, and they are just fantastic. As I understand, they're still at it. They're still playing.
Oh, they are still at it, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, man, Tower of Power, that's about as good as it gets. That's for sure. So, yeah.
I'm a Frank Sinatra guy, too.
Say that again, Rich?
I said I'm a Frank Sinatra guy, too.
All right.
There you go. So power horns to laid-back horns. I love it. You know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, absolutely. I play in a band here in Houston that we have a horn section, and we do soul hits from the 50s and 60s, old-time rock and roll and blues, and those guys are great, man. You throw them a solo, and they just flat wail. They blow the roof off the place, and I'm used to playing with horns now. And before I joined this band, I've been with them 10 years. Before I joined the band, I had never really played with a horn section, but those guys are very musically fluent and intelligent, and they also play other instruments, so it's a real pleasure to work with those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah, man.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of pleasures, it has been an absolute pleasure, Rich, having you on the show tonight. Have a great, great winter, and enjoy Christmas, enjoy New Year's, enjoy all the other holidays, and we'll catch you somewhere down the road. Maybe we'll have to come by the hospitality tent at one of the national events and look you up.
Well, I'll be at Gainesville.
Awesome.
All right.
The traditional East Coast kickoff. Fantastic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rich Fenwick, a man who went right to the top and battled Manzo, Newberry, and Bartone and the rest in Division One. All the way from Connecticut, and bringing it to you here on Racing and Rocking. Rich, all the best, sir. Great to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, Rich.
Right. Rich Fenwick, everybody. I love it. Let's turn it over now to John Bachelman to find out about JB's take in this week's Racer of the Week. John, take it away.
Thank you, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Corey Ream from Narvon, Pennsylvania. Corey was recommended to our associate producer, Barb Santucci, by his aunt, who is Jackie Fricky. Corey is an outstanding young man who I believe is destined for a great life and career in our sport. Some details of Corey are as follows. He started racing when he was 10 in 2012. In 2013, he won the Beaver Blast race at Beaver Springs. Corey is the 2016 Division I Junior Dragster Champion in the 12 to 13-year-old bracket. His car is a 2006 Motivational Tubing Chassis, and the engine is a 2016 Rhino that his dad built. Corey sends thanks to Roadrunner Race Fuels, Accelerated Travel, and to his mom and dad for supporting him. He has runnered up a couple of times, and Corey said he would like to turn them into wins in 2017 and attain a major sponsorship. Corey also plays on an AAU basketball team, and also he plays for his school team. Now, folks, this is a great kid, and I know his parents are proud of what he has accomplished. As we all know, many of our pro champions started out in junior dragster, and Corey is on a winning path to the future. Corey, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Y'all be sure to tune in tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Eastern on Races Reunion Radio for Racing Through History. It's the GOAT Rodeo you don't want to miss. Thanks, and I'll see y'all next week.
All right, thank you, John. That was JB's take, and a great young man is going to make things out. We'll be talking to him in about 20 years as he's racing his top fuel car or something.
You got that right, yeah.
Well, let's go to See You at the Drags, folks. I think this coming weekend, the Eastern Museum of Motor Racing up there in York Springs, Pennsylvania, has got a nice reunion, so check out the web for EMMR, and hope you guys have fun up there. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. Lots of good folks are going to be up there, and check it out if you get a chance. Our next segment, unfortunately, each week, this is Lost Friends, and a big name, actually. This name came in right at the end of the show last week, and we were unable to get him on, but Kent Enderle from Enderle Fuel Injection, one of the great names in the sport of drag racing and in all of motorsports, Kent Enderle passing away on the 20th of the month. Farewell to Kent. Gordy Isham passed away this last week as well. Farewell to Gordy. Rob Dyer, another racer, passing away. And Jerry Vergadamo, a.k.a. Thriller, passing away on the 25th. Our farewell to him. And Ronald Penk passing away on the 26th as well. And then Dan Horan Sr., Digger Dan, the wild Irishman who raced top fuel cars out of the Northwest for decades and decades, and recently rejoined, in fact, one of the earliest nostalgia top fuel dragsters to come back onto the scene in the 1980s with the entire nostalgia circuit. And he has raced ever since with his Irish Intimidator dragsters. One of the great guys in the sport, legendary names both yesterday and today, with two different groups of folks following him, and a gentleman I'm proud to know and who has supported Draglist and sent us lots and lots of information on his cars over the years. So farewell to Dan Horan. Our condolences to Dan Jr., who we had on the show just last year, or perhaps the year before, and all the entire Horan family, plus, of course, all our friends in the nostalgia drag racing world. So a great, great man passing away. Proud to know them, and condolences to their family and many, many friends. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, folks. We want to thank Rich Fenwick, John Bachman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, as always, Barb Santucci and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Now, Barb and Bud have been working super hard in the background, and they've come up with our new Salute to the Champions for the top drag racers of the 2016 NHRA season, starting with the NHRA. But Salute to the Champions will begin next Monday night with, get this, 2016 NHRA Top Fuel Champion Antron Brown will be joining us next Monday night right here on Racing and Rockin' the following week. Of course, Mr. Ron Capps the following week. Well, we'll just let you go down the list of winners and figure out who that might be. But Antron Brown will be joining us next Monday night, of course. So excited to have Antron back on the show. Just a champ of a gentleman in addition to being a champion on the drag strip. And really looking forward to that. So, folks, have a fabulous week. On behalf of John and Jeff and Danny back at the keyboard, working real hard, Barb and Bud and everyone else, adios for tonight, and we'll see you next Monday night for Antron Brown. Goodbye, everybody. My friend and I were in the white spotlight.